This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
I hope you've got a long time. I have a lot to say.
How long have you been a supporter of Carlton?
I grew up following Carlton, so... I was maybe 5 or 6, had a few teams in the mix, and then my mum taught with one of the players of the time and another significant person in my life barracked for Carlton, so I chose them, and I followed them until I was about, until Essendon thrashed us in the grand final in the late 90s, and then I really didn't enjoy football and the culture of football, so I just ignored it for a long time. And then also Carlton never won, so I wasn't ever really compelled to go back. And then when the AFLW came into existence, I knew it was coming for a while and I didn't really care until right up close when it happened. And then I've been obsessed ever since.
What is it like to finally see a women's league finally in AFL?
It had a really profound effect on me, actually, and... I guess I really had underestimated what it means. And so I went to the first game, the Carlton Collingwood game, and it was a ground that I'd been to many times and had performed that ritual of going to the game. And it was so great that it was so similar and there was such a great buzz that everyone's talked about. And I was just, ecstatic when they played the Carlton theme song and the women's team ran out. It was really amazing.
How exciting is it that there's actually a pride game?
Well, I think off the back of the marriage equality campaign, I think for me, football was a kind of a gender divide for me more, and I've never really experienced exclusion of kind of through that gender lens more so than sexuality. But I think through the marriage equality campaign and the kind of last couple of years of the public discourse, I think that representation is really important and having those role models is really important. And I think, to see all of those players out there and women's players who are happily proud in their lives, playing with their partners or, dating people in opposition teams, that they can have, that celebrated and also be there for, kids and to witness and to kind of aspire to is just really fantastic.
Isn't it something that's like ridiculously amazing? We're in the second year of the AFL Women's League. They're having a pride game and we've got a league where, you have players playing against their partners. You have openly out players playing and it really has redefined what inclusivity means in our national sport, hasn't it?
AFLW is a fantastic example of people living whole lives, that all of the players have sacrificed a lot, and have played in all of the shitty grounds and all of the substandard kind of facilities. They're really passionate. They've worked really hard. They've been told no so many times and they're all there playing it. I guess that's the older generation. There's some lucky ones who have come up. We're starting to see those teenagers who have been able to but from the hard work of all of the people before to make sure that women have access to footy. And I think that opening it up, I think there's been some recent commentary in Sam Lane's book, about some regrets that some female football administrators had about perhaps suggesting that, women needed to closet their sexuality so they could be taken seriously as footballers. And I think the opposite is so obviously... important that people are embraced for their whole selves and they'll get the best out of them and also set the kind of tone for all of the sporting codes out there that have a long way to go to really be community places that invite and are safe for everyone to go down to.
How excited are you for Friday?
I'm very excited. I may or may not be making I have a repurposed rainbow banner, footy banner, that I'm just working out my final design for. So yeah, I think I'm taking this fandom to a whole new level that I never would have imagined with men's football. I was definitely a casual observer. I might have worn a scarf, but in the past, but now full branding. Every conversation I have with anyone at the moment is about AFLW, and I just think this is the icing on the cake for women's footy to have this match. Which is also not to say that I don't have some issues with my own club in Carlton and their stance during the marriage equality campaign. So I think this has really come from the Pride Collective group and the players themselves to actually bring AFL, you know, to the party to say, this is who we are and we want to celebrate it. And, you know, there's real value in that, and it's something that is good for the people involved, and it's good for the people who watch it, and it's also good for those kids and even older people to witness and say, actually, maybe competitive sport, whether it's football or something else, is something that I can participate in because, you know, these gestures do matter.
Absolutely. I mean, let's touch on as well, when all the stuff was happening with marriage equality, you brought it up, Carlton had a different CEO. And the Pride, Carlton Pride wasn't as much a part of the club. And I think it's really safe to say Carlton Pride has really helped to elevate that conversation within the club and what that actually means. Do you feel like that's the case?
Yeah, look, I think it's tricky. I don't know the inner workings of Carlton Football Club. I certainly wrote a lot of letters to them about it. I paid to be an AFLW member and, you know, took it to the membership team, took it to the then CEO. I was really, really affected by their stance, like I think, and probably more than I'd want to be given, you know, it was an emotional time for all of us during the equality campaign. So I think, you know, and I've seen some criticism of the club and people are kind of wondering why Carlton has the game. But I think, you know, maybe a good thing is that they perhaps be what, coming out with a non-position like they did has to the community, and through the kind of work of the Carlton Pride group and perhaps all of the members who wrote in and all of the people who called them out on their stance, they've kind of realised that actually they should have a more proactive and inclusive approach to footy. And I think that for me is a good thing. Maybe I'd feel differently and more cynical about it if I wasn't a Carlton supporter, but I'm really happy it's Carlton that are in the game. But I'd be there. Wouldn't matter which teams were playing.
And certainly the way in which they've stepped up in regard to this Pride game, it's not token in any capacity. They really have, you know, stepped up and are really creating a space to make the club more inclusive, and they're showing that. So, better late than never is not the word that I guess I want to use, but it shows that everyone can learn from their mistakes.
Yeah, and I think it's what happens when you have a diversity of people in your organisation and a range of people in your organisation that they themselves create the change. So I'm sure that the players and the staff at Carlton have worked really hard, and that, you know, I'm sure there was animosity within the club. I don't have any links to that, but I'm just saying, I just feel like if you have, you know, if the women are themselves queer or, you know, not straight identifying or whatever they are, in those roles, it just normalises it and it creates space and people can go about living their normal full lives in a way that if it just stays at the domain of a straight white man, it can't reflect the community and the diversity in the community.
That is awesome. I can't think of anything more to say. Is there anything else you'd like to share?
Go Blues. And also, I'm just terribly sad for all of the injured players and that Bree can't play in the game. I'm sure it's a tough one for her, but I think all of the fans behind her recovery and whatever part she plays in the day. I think what this is great for is setting the template so all the local clubs, boarding facilities can look about how they can become more attractive to the broader community. And we know that AFL has a history of being the white male game, and I think that there's people within those organisations that probably want to hold on to that, but I think once they get to see the benefits of what happens when you invite women and families and a range of people from communities down to the clubs, how it actually benefits the community, makes it stronger and makes it a place that people want to be. And it means that the game will keep growing and keep living on. And I think also one of the other great things about AFLW is going to the games, and I, you know, different games I've taken 10, 20 people, and you can sit with your friends and enjoy it, and there's not angry men yelling and screaming and, you know, being gross. And it's just a completely different feel. It's really supportive. I'm sure the niggle factor in season two of AFLW has come up, but it's really great space to be, to celebrate women competing against each other and really going hard and really performing. And, yeah, I love it. Can you tell?
I'm a lot less cynical about the seeing is believing and how important positive representation is after the first season of AFLW. I was actually really inspired to play, and that journey last year was really fabulous for me. Like a lot of women, I didn't have the opportunity, and it made my 9-year-old self really happy to be able to play out a season at the ripe old age of 39. And I was really inspired by seeing the women out there, all their shapes and sizes and ages, and seeing them giving it a crack. So I think Pride Games are more than just the symbolic for those that they speak to. And I don't think you can underestimate what that means for the people out there. And you might not ever really see it, but I think seeing the AFLW inspired me, and I'm pretty sure that kids growing up seeing Pride Games will have a completely different understanding of sport and their access to it. I love playing sport, I love watching sport, and I think initiatives like this go a long way to creating cultural change for the better, but there has to be change across the board through administration, through who talks about the game, who has access to comment, and what is deemed valuable in that commentary. So I'm really thrilled of all of the voices that have come up with AFLW and learning the stories of all of the players and the fans' connections, which are really different to the previous version of AFL. The other thing I want to say is that I'm really thrilled that the Pride Game exists. There's still a long way to go to make sport inclusive and to stop perpetuating it as a binary gendered experience. I think there are a lot of trans and non-binary people who miss out on participating and accessing sport because they don't fit the narrow confines, and that's something that I hope to see change. I'd urge clubs and codes at all levels to look at how they can offer sporting opportunities beyond the gender binary. I know as a kid I faced that, being told, ironically, when I played netball, that I should be playing football and that's what I really wanted to be doing, but couldn't. I'd also like to shout out to Hannah Mouncey for being a trailblazer and taking it up to the AFL and copping a lot of flack for that.
Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.